As we get into the Word this morning, I want to give again a special welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you will feel very much at home in this great family of believers. And Lord bless you and keep you in this time. As we get into the Word this morning, we'll be reading in just a moment. We'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. We just sang that hymn, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." One of my favorite worship songs. It's older, and you've probably heard me lead in it, but it's that simple chorus that says, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my King." We have many songs that use these words, "I love you, Lord." And this morning, I want us to look at what Jesus says and ask the question, do we love Jesus according to His teaching? Do we love God according to the teaching of Jesus? And so let us, out of reverence for the Lord, let's stand and read verses 15 through 27. Let's begin together. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Everything I have said to you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come now to Your Word, and we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the authority and truth of Your Word. We ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us and guide us into all truth, and give us hearts to obey what You show us, Lord. Thank You that You are a personal God, and that You minister to each one of us wherever we're at, Lord. Have Your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have to tell you up front that although I like to preach messages that are warm and encouraging and are positive and make people feel good, this is not going to be one of them. This is a difficult message, but it comes right from the lips of Jesus. And I'm going to launch right into it because we have a lot to try to cover. And the main point of this message is this, is that our love for Jesus must translate into obedience. Obedience to His teachings and obedience to His commands. Now, let me quickly say that obedience to His commands is not so that we can be saved. In other words, it's not how we get saved. We do not get saved by obedience to His commands. In other words, by gaining or earning that salvation, by being good, by obeying His commands. No, but rather, we obey His commands because we already are saved. We obey His commands because Jesus has first loved us, and Jesus has called us. Jesus has died for our sins, every one of us, every sin, past, present, and future. And Jesus has called us to be His. Called us to be His own. And as we sang in that hymn a few minutes ago, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. I love Thee because You first loved me." You see, we do not love because we have made this decision, "Oh, well, I'm going to love Jesus." That's not how it works. But rather, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit so that He draws you and me and changes our hearts so that we can be forgiven, receive God's grace, and then, out of gratitude, we obey His commands. So our love for Jesus must translate into obedience to His teachings and His commands. Why? Because if it does not, we have to ask the question, do I really love Jesus? Do I really love God? There's a story, I've told you this before. When I was down in construction in Wilmington, North Carolina, we were in the house of a young man. We were doing some work in his house. And one of my co-workers, who was very bold, sometimes brash, and he went and started a conversation with the owner, the young man, and he said, "Let me ask you something." He says, "Do you love God? Do you love Jesus?" To which the young man quickly responded. He said, "No, sir, I do not." And he was kind of taken back. He said, "Oh, well, why not? Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, sir, the Bible says that if I love Jesus, then I'm going to obey His commands." And he said, "And I'm not obeying God's commands. I'm not obeying Jesus' words and teachings." He said, "So, no, I don't love Jesus." He was being honest, wasn't he? He was being honest. Now, we have to distinguish between failures on our part as those who do love Jesus, because we all have failures, we all fail at it, versus a lifestyle where I am not obeying God. There has been taught over the past several decades what's called an easy believism. All you have to do is pray this prayer, shake the preacher's hands, fill out the card, and guess what? You're saved. Well, it is not in the praying of the prayer. It is not filling out the card. It is not shaking the preacher's hands which saves you. But rather, when you truly pray that prayer, you have a heart of repentance and you're turning to God. And God, by His grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, saves you. He saves you. And He saves me. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 3, it says, we were born again by the power or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not by outward water, which cannot cleanse the heart, but rather by the inward power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you and I get saved. The prayer is a response of faith. Did you know you can get saved even though you might not pray the prayer correctly? Think with me for a moment about the woman who had the issue of blood. Do you remember the story? Jesus was teaching and preaching, and then He went on to heal a great number of people. And there was a woman that was in the crowd, and she'd had this issue of blood for many, many, many years. I believe, if I remember correctly, it was 38 years. I might be off on that. It was a long time. And she thought to herself, if I can just get near enough to Jesus, if I can get just close enough to Him, and I can just touch the hem of His robe, she says, I will be made clean. I will be made whole. And so she pushes her way through the crowd. Can you imagine? People around her were like, oh, what are you doing? You know, get away from me. Having a very condescending attitude towards her. But she pushes her way and she gets close enough and she reaches and she finally touches the hem of the garment of Jesus. And it says that power went out of Jesus and she was healed. That's a beautiful thing right there, isn't it? It's beautiful. But stop. All of a sudden, Jesus was aware and he asked the question. He says, power has gone out from me. Who touched me? Can you imagine how this lady probably felt at that moment? And her disciples are looking around. Jesus is looking around. And the woman knew that she was caught. At that moment, she was caught. That's how she felt. And she finally comes and she says, Jesus, it was me. I'm sorry. Just wanted to be healed. So I thought if I just touched the hem of your garment, I would be healed. And do you remember the beautiful words of Jesus? Daughter, your great faith has given you this healing. Go in peace. She thought she was about to be chastised. She thought she was about to be lambasted because of what she'd done. But let me stop right there and say, what do you think of her theology? You know, well, hey, if I could just touch the hem of her robe. Not really, really good theology, but Jesus healed her. And Jesus said, your faith, your sins are forgiven. You're healed because of your faith, because you believed. Simple faith. Did she have it all right? Did she have it all correct? No. Do you and I have it all right? Have it all correct? Understand it all? Get it all, get all the theology correct and dot all the I's and cross the T's correctly all the time? No. And if you think you do, see me afterwards and I'll straighten you out. None of us have it all straight. None of us. None of us understand it all, but Jesus still works. There's another episode. And this one always kind of puzzled me. I'll ask Jesus one day when we get to heaven, we see him. There's a man who was blind. And you remember the story? Jesus squats down and he spits in the mud. He spits in the dirt. And he makes mud with his spittle in the dirt. And he takes that and he puts that on the man's eyes. And he tells him, go wash. I think it's in the pool of Siloam. Go on. He spits in the mud and makes mud, or the dirt rather, makes mud and puts it on the man's eyes. I mean, is it just me or does that just seem weird? That's just, can we be honest and say, that's weird? You know, I think I'm going to have a little container of dirt up here. And next time somebody comes up to be prayed for and anointed for healing, I'm going to spit in the dirt. I'm going to make some mud. I'm going to rub it all over your head. See what you think. That's weird. Let's just be honest. That's just a little weird. That's a little strange. I don't get it. I don't fully understand it. But Jesus wanted this man to know that he understood that he was a man made of earth. He was a man who had been born with a defect. You see, if you're on this earth, we're under a sin-filled, sin-cursed earth, and sometimes bad things happen to people, and there's no reason. There's no satisfying reason why. But Jesus wanted him to know he understood that he was simply a man made of dirt, made of dust, and he was going to minister to him. See, so God can minister to wherever you're at. But the key is, are you being sincere? Are you and I truly, truly repenting and loving God? And then the next question, which we all have to ask, is, Are we obeying Jesus' teachings and His commands? Jesus doesn't say this just once in this passage. He says it three times. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Do you think Jesus is trying to make a point? He is. If you love me, you will obey my teaching. You will obey my commands. Now, John, the writer of the Gospel of John, reiterates this teaching in his letter, in his first letter, 1 John. It's in chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And I think, is that Mr. Bruce that's going to read that passage for us? Thank you.
We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. Would you go back to verse 4 for me, Jim? Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a what? Is a what? Ouch. And the truth is not in that person. I told you, this is not a feel-good message today, is it? We have to ask this question. Am I obeying the Lord? Am I saying I love Him? And if I'm saying that, I have to ask the second question. Am I obeying Him? Am I obeying His word? Am I obeying His commands? Am I obeying His teachings? And if I'm not, guess what? I'm a liar. You see, we have this dichotomy in the Christian church today where if we just come in and put on the church face and somebody asks us how things go, oh, praise the Lord, things are good, everything's great, and you could be dying inside and you need help and you need to do business with God and you need to shore up your relationship with Jesus Christ. But yet we sit there and we don't respond when the time comes for surrender. The time comes to deal with ourselves. We don't respond. And we take the sermon and we put it into the Bible and we close the Bible and we go on about our day. That was a good sermon, Pastor. Folks, we need to get serious with God. And here's the other side of it is people are looking at you and me. They're watching us. You see, if we say we love God, they're looking. They want to know, well, if you love God, what's different about you? What's different? Let's look together at what these commands are. And by the way, I need to quickly say this, that we cannot obey the commands of the Lord without the Holy Spirit empowering us. You and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus asked the Father to send Him to us, so that by the power of the indwelling Spirit, we can obey. You can't obey without the power of the Spirit. A few weeks ago, I preached on this. I preached from Ezekiel 36, where it says, the Spirit of God is going to come and He's going to remove that heart of stone, and He's going to change our want to. Last year, I preached from Jeremiah 31, with the essence of the new covenant. God says, I'm going to take my laws and I'm going to write them on your heart, write them on the mind by the indwelling Spirit. And that's how you and I will obey His teachings, obey His commands, because it's the empowering of the Spirit of God within us. But that will only happen if I've truly repented and asked Christ to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I think sometimes there's a lot of defective Christianity because people truly have not repented. They have maybe said some words and they have maybe felt something emotionally. But we must respond and repent. That's one of the things we're going to look at together. It's actually number one. Number one. First and foremost, repent and believe the good news. This is Jesus, believe it or not, this was his first sermon. This is Jesus' first sermon. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, it says, Jesus went about preaching the good news of the kingdom. Okay, we do have it up there. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee and proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God had come near in the person of Jesus Christ, the King. And so his command, his first command is repent and believe the good news. Why? You might say, well, Pastor, I thought later on Jesus said the greatest command was to love the Lord your God. We're going to get to that. That's number two. But guess what? You can't love the Lord your God first and foremost. You can't love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength until you have first come and repented and turned to Christ so that you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot love God without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. So, I have to ask the question, have you repented and believe the good news of Jesus Christ? This is how you are saved. To repent means I turn away. Repentance means I was going this way, and I turn, and I'm going this way now. The first way is I'm following myself. I'm following sin. And to repent and turn to God means I'm now following Christ, who has forgiven me, who died for my sins and rose from the dead, and now calls me to surrender as the living Lord, the living Christ. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Because I am humble and gentle of heart. But you see, Jesus does have a yoke that we must wear. It's the yoke of surrender. So, have you come? Have you repented and come to Jesus Christ? Because everything from this point on will make no sense to you. You won't be able to. You won't even understand what it means to love God, what it means to follow him, what it means to love your neighbor, what it means to do good. You won't understand any of that unless you have first repented and put your faith in Christ. So, if that's you today, if you know you need to repent, turn to God, turn to faith in Christ, we invite you at the end of the service. Come on up. Let us lead you in prayer to invite Jesus Christ into your life, to surrender to him so that he can be your Lord and your Savior, and that you can have the gift of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. The Holy Spirit was sent for you and 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 me, every one of us, not just for preachers, not just for prophets, not just for evangelists, not just for missionaries, not just for the apostles. No, the Holy Spirit is sent for you. And he wants to shine through your personality and your gifts. See, when you come to Jesus, you don't need to act like you're sucking on sour lemons. You know, perhaps you've met some people like that. And they're all sour and dour because, well, I love Jesus. Praise God. And you have to ask the question, are you embalmed yet or what? You don't have to be dead. No. In fact, the Word tells us the what is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's why we ought to be joyful Christians. We ought to be filled with his joy and his power within us. So, Number one, you must repent and believe the good news of Jesus. This is Jesus' first command, first and foremost to you. Then, number two, Jesus does say the greatest command is this: love God with all your heart. If you are a follower of God, if you are a person who claims to love God, and you have been saved by the grace and the forgiveness of Christ, you and I are called to love God first with all of our heart. Isn't that what Jesus said when they asked him what the greatest command is? Matthew 22:37. They asked him, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Now, they were trying to trap him. They were trying to catch him. And Jesus repeats the greatest command based from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It's called the Shema, the call, the listen. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Stop right there. This is the greatest command. How do we love God? How is that possible to love God? It seems like an impossible task, doesn't it? You see, it's something more than just an emotional feeling. It's not just a warm and fuzzy, you see. I love when we worship together, and, you know, part of that reason is we want you and me to have our hearts ready, to get our hearts ready. Ready for God to speak to us through the Word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, and we have this phenomena that we come in and our hearts are just filled with all kinds of things. Right? Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6. He says, make sure that you're not weighed down with the dissipation of life. You know, he said, the things that worry us. How many of you are worriers? How many of you are lying right now? There's some people that are real worriers, you know, and I get it. There's times that I've worried about certain things, you know. But Jesus says, don't worry about these things. He said, listen, your heavenly Father knows that you need these essentials of life. Your Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these will be what? Added unto you, given to you. If you will seek Him first, if you will love Him first. Oh, boy. But Pastor, you know, I love God, but man, I can't pay the electric bill. Okay. That's why we're here for each other. That's why we have what's called the benevolence fund. That's why we help each other. That's why we go even further than this church family to the community beyond us. And we work with Haven Ministries so that people in the community can be helped as well. You got an electric bill that you're behind on, you need help, would you please come and see us? We want to help. If you need financial counseling, some help there, we'll be glad to do that too. Pastor, I don't have a job. I don't have a job. And I've been looking, and I've been looking. Tammy, how long was it when you were unemployed?
3 years
without a job. But we prayed, and we trusted, and we encouraged, and we held our sister up. We helped her when we needed to. But she did the best she could. And guess what? God came through. Have a good job now, don't you? Amen? God answers prayer. But you got to love Him first. You see, we get it around. It's like, God, you know, I'll be back. I'll love you next Sunday morning for an hour. I'll love you. But right now, I got to take care of all these things. God just kind of chuckles. He said, really? You're going to do all that, huh? How about you come back to me next week, tell me how that goes? God says, if you will love me first, if you'll seek me first, I'll add all of these things to you. I'll add them all to you. Brother Mike, can I pick on you? Brother Mike, we talked a couple of weeks back, and his job ended. Job he was working on ended. And he said, Pastor, I need a job, and I need one yesterday. So we started praying together. And there's a few of you that prayed with me. So Mike could have a job because he wants to work. And so where did you start on last Wednesday? Where was your job that you started at?
True Value.
True Value Hardware. Praise God. Amen. See, because God will answer prayers if you will seek Him and love Him first. You got to love Him with all your heart. So we're familiar with the Ten Commands, and I put some recommendations for us that I think we should listen to. By the way, the Ten Commands are not suggestions. They're not recommendations. They're commands. And here's some of the things He says. Don't have any idols before Me, says God. Oh, Pastor, I'm not carving anything out of wood or stone or gold. I'm not. I don't have a Buddha. And if you do have a Buddha, you better repent of it and get rid of it, because Buddha ain't God. I remember that old song. I think it was the Imperials. It won't be old Buddha who's sitting on the throne, and it won't be Hare Krishna who's calling us home. And it won't be old Muhammad who gives that trumpet call, because we're going to see the sun and not Reverend Moon. I know I'm dating myself. Reverend Moon was this Korean wacko guy. I guess that was in the 1980s. I am ancient, aren't I? Don't have any idols. Who said yes? Ushers, can you please smack him? Don't have any idols before Me. What's an idol? Anything that I am putting first in my life. That's an idol. See, if I'm putting my job first, that's an idol. Some of us are workaholics. We need to deal with that. Some of us are putting a relationship first, whether it's a spouse or a significant boyfriend, girlfriend, type person. If you're putting that person first, in other words, if you're giving all of your attention, you're giving all of your effort, you're giving all of your allegiance, you're giving all of your effort towards that person, that's an idol before God. You fill in the blank. And God says, don't have any idols before Me. Guess what? I am a jealous God. And we don't have time to go into all of what that means. He is perfectly jealous. We think of jealousy in human terms as something wrong. But God says, I am a jealous God. He is perfectly jealous, and He is jealous for you and for me. And He will not tolerate an idol before Him. Next, honor and worship Me first. I've heard so many people that say, oh, well, you know, I'm religious, I'm spiritual, but I just don't go to church. I don't really like that organized church thing. I get it. You know, we are a little bit weird, especially you. I should say, especially me. And I get it. You know, there's a lot of weird stuff that has happened in churches that's turned people off. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we really work hard at trying to keep things on an even keel here. And we don't do weird stuff. Well, we try not to do weird stuff. And when I do weird stuff, the leaders talk to me about it. They really do. Some of you talk to me about it. And, boy, we're getting a lot of amens this morning. But I get that. But guess what? How can you worship God if you're not in a body of believers and you are not joining together, assembling yourselves? In fact, you're doing the opposite of what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, which says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but do it all the more as you see the day approaching. Encourage one another all the more. So, no, you don't. I asked this of the guys in the Bible study. Can you be saved and not go to church? And the answer is, yeah. But guess what? You will be a weak Christian, and you will most likely fall away because you don't have the encouragement and the strength and the accountability and fellowship. Most importantly, accountability because we can deceive ourselves. So honor and worship me first. This is every day. This is our relationship with God. Worship Him first. Spend your day starting with Jesus. Start with Jesus. Start your day with Jesus. If you love Him, start your day with Him. Glorify me in your life, in your words, your actions, in your work, in your money, in your relationships. Glorify me first. Because people are looking at you. We represent God. See, that's part of the reason that God calls us to holiness, right? He said it in the Old Testament to His people. He said, "Be holy, because I, the Lord, am holy." He says it again in Peter. "Be holy, because I, the Lord, am holy." In other words, be like me. If you are my people, then be like me. Again, as I'm saying all these things, you can't do this. You and I won't do this. We will not even want to do this unless we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, serve me only, number two. Serve me only. This is the practical aspect of it. James talks about this. If you want a really good read this afternoon, read the book of James. The ladies are getting into the study. I think they started last week. There's still time for you ladies. I'll put in a shameless plug for you for the Bible study on Tuesday nights. Get into the James study. And here's what James says. You have faith? Show it to me by your works. Because faith without works is? Your faith and my faith should be expressed through loving deeds. Brother Paul, could I put you on the spot? By the way, Paul is fairly new to our congregation. Glad that he's a part of it, a part of our men's group. And it took him a while. He thought we were kind of weird. He knew I was kind of weird. But he still came out. Can you believe that? God bless you, Paul. Paul shared with us Tuesday night that you were doing a job for a lady, older lady. And can you stand and tell us what happened real quick? I know I'm putting you on the spot. Go ahead, Paul.
We sat down and took time to have coffee and eat with her afterwards, and you could feel God's presence there and the Holy Spirit there. And the look on her eyes, you see how lonely she is. But she says what keeps her from going into depression, like my mom is from my dad passing. Says she stays busy, and her place is clean, and I can see she stays busy at 87. And she doesn't have too many pity parties. And it was a blessing feeling. Is that what you wanted me to share?
So you stopped after your work and
yes.
Took a few minutes. And
oh, I shared with you that usually I'm too busy. And we all are. And I felt like, for one thing, we didn't have another job. But we still, I like to get on this side of the bridge as soon as I can. And I'm over in Pasadena working. And but I felt honored through God to sit down with her and share a couple minutes with her. Amen. And I never hardly do that, and my nephew did the same, and we both left there with pieces of cake, I think, we took with us, and we had a cup of coffee and a smile, and it was a God-given moment.
Amen.
And thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, Paul. God
Welcome.
Bless you, brother. You see, he was loving God by a practical action. How often do we see people all around us and you know, they're struggling. This life is filled with struggle. And we just rush past. We rush past. We see somebody and, oh, hey, how you doing? And we don't even stop long enough for them to answer. They're like, ah. See, I'm guilty of it too. But here's a wonderful example. It took time to minister to her. Isn't that beautiful? How about us? Are we taking the time to let our love for God flow out into actions, good deeds, so that people see it and glorify our Father in heaven? Number three, can you hang with me a few more minutes? I only need another hour, okay? 10 minutes, all right? We'll wrap up. Number three, love your neighbor as yourself. That was the second aspect of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. And it's also recorded in Mark 12, 31. This is the second aspect of loving God. He says, and the second command is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I know we're moving into some tough, tough territory here, because sometimes your neighbors will drive you insane. I get it. But guess what? Here's some practical suggestions how you can love your neighbor. Number one, forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Let me ask you a question. God forgave you. Did you deserve it? No. I've had certain people say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to forgive them because they don't deserve it. Really? Did you deserve God's forgiveness? And yet He gave it to us. And Jesus has some really strong words about this. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. I'm not going to take the time to quote it, but just simply say, He says, if you forgive others their sins, then your sins will be forgiven. Makes sense, right? But He even goes as far as this. He says, but if you will not forgive others their sins, your sins will not be forgiven. Ooh. Ow. That's hard. But that's the truth. That's the truth of Jesus. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Folks, how often do we do this? We hold unforgiveness towards other people. And you say you love God, and you are holding unforgiveness towards others. When Jesus specifically commands, forgive as you have been forgiven. You didn't deserve it, neither did I. We must forgive. If we're going to love our neighbor, we must forgive. Number two, or second under that, would be to do good to them, right? That's the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Do unto others as what? As you would have them do unto you. We've lost that in this country and in this culture. It's called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love one another. Jesus said in John 13, 34, love one another as I have loved you. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's very hard. I know that. But again, you and I can't do it without the power of the indwelling Spirit. Then the last one under love your neighbor is this. Live in peace. Live in peace. As if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's a person here. They're not here today, or I would call upon them and embarrass them real good. But they have had a real hard time with a neighbor. And this neighbor has been absolutely unreasonable. Beyond difficult, will not work with them. I mean, just difficult. And they said at the end of this time they had, when they were being cursed up one side, down the other, she said, God bless you at the end. And sometimes that's all you can do. Another person will not yield. They will not reconcile. They will not give in. And you can't make that happen. But you can keep yourself in the right place. And you can say, God bless you. And let it go. Let it go. So as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Number four, share the good news of Christ's forgiveness. Jesus called us to this over and over and over again. Share the good news. We sang in that song, which, by the way, I think we're going to close with that song. It's just such a beautiful song. Good way to close the service. Share this treasure that you found. Share it. There are people all over the place. They're just looking for some good news. And we have the best news. We have a treasure that we can share with other people. Tell people that Christ died for their sins. Tell people that they can be forgiven. They're already forgiven because Christ died for their sins. They just need to receive it. It's a gift that they can receive. They can simply receive it by faith. The indwelling Spirit, we're told, will teach us all things and remind us of Jesus' words. Verse 26. It will remind us of Jesus' words. You see, you and I have to read Jesus' words. We have to put those words into our heart. And when the time comes, the Spirit of God will remind us. That's why Jesus said it, right? When the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. That's why we have to have this relationship with God through the Spirit every day. Every day. And the last beautiful promise is Jesus said, verse 27, peace I give to you. I will give you my peace. While you're trying to live this out in this crazy world that we live in. Peace. It's eirene in the original Greek, but it is correspondent to the Hebrew shalom. And shalom means a peace of all life. Everything in my life is in peace because of God. My relationship with Him is right. My relationship with one another is right. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm His. I know that I'm forgiven, so I can forgive others. You see, you can't offend somebody who refuses to be offended and refuses to hold unforgiveness. You can't do it. And that's what we're called to. So I ask the question again as I close. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? And if so, we are called to follow His commands and follow His teachings by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And God will do it in us. God will do it in us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and close us with that beautiful song, Oh, Come to the Altar. And as we do this, maybe you're here today and you need to start this relationship with Jesus. And so what the song says, I encourage you and challenge you to do. Come forward. Make this an altar of prayer and invite Jesus Christ into your life. Let's all stand together. And as the worship team leads us in the song, Oh, Come to the Altar.